Hello and welcome to the Consumer Goods Forum End-to-End Value Chain podcast. My name is Joelle Mbuya-Leclerc and I work in the communications team. In this podcast series, we'll be hearing industry insights from experts working towards collaborative solutions that benefit the entire value chain. In this episode, we'll be hearing from End-to-End Value Chain Director Rudy Hagedorn, and he'll be speaking with guest participants David Ruth, CEO of The Store WPP, and John Stein, lead of the Open Voice Network. And they'll be sharing plenty of interesting insights on voice and brands. Over to you, Rudy.
Yes, thank you, Joelle, and welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the time. So, hello, John.
Hello, Rudy. Thank you for the opportunity.
Hello, David.
Hi, Rudy. Thanks very much indeed. A pleasure to be with you.
Okay. So we have a common purpose today. We want to bring AI, voice, and brands into the attention and to the attention of CGF membership as large. So, I mean, the whole phenomenon of artificial intelligence enabled voice assistants. And I mean, we can think about lots of them right now on our own mind. All of them, you talk internet, you also talk smart things sometimes. So this question goes to David and John both. Here with me because you think it's an important tool for brands. Why?
Well, I think one of the interesting things about history is that when you take a helicopter view, I think we will look back at the age of the keyboard as a sort of a blip in history, and the age of voice being the thing that will dominate the future. And in that context, voice and clearly artificial intelligence in the way in which that voice gets deployed is going to be one of the defining technologies and the way in which brands and consumers will interact with each other over the course of the next 20 years. So many people say voice and AI is overhyped. And I would say, given the direction that we're all heading in, it's very much underhyped.
Rudy, I would add to David's point and bringing it down from the helicopter view, if we take a look at the last 2 to 3 years, artificial intelligence enabled voice assistants, and many people know that as from a smart speaker such as Amazon Alexa or Google Home, has been the fastest adopted consumer technology ever, with faster adoption than the smartphone, certainly faster adoption than the tablet. This is a phenomenon that is happening at a consumer level. And then when you add the fact that now use is catching up to that adoption, you know, when we think about and realize that in 2018, you know, 1 in 8, nearly 1 in 7 Google searches worldwide, you know, and that is 250 billion searches happen by voice. And that's according to Google. This is a phenomenon that is moving toward brands. It's moving toward commerce at a very rapid pace.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, John. Thank you, David. I think that was a good introduction also to the topic and where the urgency currently is. We are running through an age of digital transformation. I guess that's one of the words or terms that I hear most when talking to companies. And of course, this goes into decision making and compared to all other things that consumer brands can and should invest in these days. Why should they invest in voice? What does this mean?
Well, I think it's as serious a question as you would probably have asked the two of us maybe 15 years ago when someone would have said, well, why should we invest in creating these funny website things where not that many people use it, and maybe certainly it's not a way of generating retail sales. And of course, we look back at that and think that's relatively amusing, but at the time there were many, many people that were saying this internet thing is a flash in the pan. And I think the same can be said now of where we are currently in voice. You could say, well, there are so many competitive technologies. There's so many things that we need to do. There's so many things on our roadmap. There's so many priorities within our technology stack that maybe voice can wait. And I would say this, that yes, you know, you could wait for voice. And yes, you know, over the course of the next 5 years, it's going to get bigger and bigger. But if you're not there now, if you're not there learning and understanding what voice can or can't do for you, if you're not getting experience within your organization of what works and what doesn't work, both from a technology and from a consumer perspective, then the chances of being able to catch up with the leaders in this space diminish over time. So I would say, if not now, when?
If you're thinking about digital transformation, you're probably thinking right now about major process changes. You're investing in AI. You're investing in blockchain. You're doing a lot of things that are reshaping internal corporate processes, and rightfully so. But Rudy, to your good question, if you think about digital transformation from a consumer's perspective, digital transformation is all about ease and convenience, of making it easier and more convenient for a shopper to say yes. Voice is the interface for the consumer that will make it be easier to find you, to search you, to shop you. It's the easiest way to say yes. And so I think David and I would argue it must be. Again, if you're thinking of the consumer, it must be part, a very important part, of the digital transformation strategy.
Yeah, well put. See that. And if I am a company now looking for the first time into voice, I would have a quick search in my own head and said, so where do we have voice? And we all remember picking up the phone, dialing a number, and if you want this message in English, press 1. If you want this message in German, press 2. And after 10 minutes, you are still pressing some buttons, trying to have that program getting you where you get. So of course, I guess one of the obvious use for AI's voice system for an enterprise would be a call center. The AI is smarter and could be a greater efficiency, greater accuracy. We could automate answers and also analyze the answers and questions and also sort them quickly. So, but David, you're suggesting that voice has a much greater role to play, especially for consumer brands. Could you be explicit, and why is that?
Sure. You know, I think that most consumers, when they're thinking about searching for a product or buying a product, in their heads are going through a voice search, but at the moment they're having to translate that into keyboard strokes, converting that thought process into the way in which we've got used to searching for things. So therefore, I think it's much more intuitive for consumers to ask for things in a sort of a normal language via voice. And I think that more and more people will find that that's a much more user-centric way of finding out about things and then purchasing things. So I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. In 2019 in China for the global shopping festival 11/11, for the first year, voice really has played a very, very significant part in this. And over 110,000 eggs and 1.4 million tons of rice and 76 tons of liquid detergent and over 1 million orders were placed over that 24-hour period and paid for via a voice through Tmall Tmall's Genie, which I suppose is the equivalent of Amazon's Alexa. And the process is actually very, very interesting because all you needed to do was to say, as an example, you know, I want to buy rice, and the Genie recommends the products to choose from, and you confirm your purchase and your shipping address, and immediately gets processed via Alipay. It's a very, very compelling and a very, very quick way of being able to purchase. Now, the significance for FMCG companies and brand owners in the context of that is very profound, because when you say, I want to buy rice or I want to buy liquid detergent, what's the role for the brand within the context of that choice? And this is an area that I think all of our FMCG companies, our marketeers, our creative agencies around the world are going to have to work in combination with each other to work out how brand preference and brand choice and asking for brands is going to work in this voice world. And we're very, very much at the early stages of that journey.
What David described, though, Rudy, is, I think, right at the edge of where this is going. You know, you talked, you mentioned in your opening question here, really about almost a robotic Q&A. You know, when does this ship? And the voice assistant says, it ships at this time. But what David just described was a voice assistant, an AI-developed voice assistant, responding with recommendations, which is a step from just robotic Q&A into conversation. I can't imagine a brand that would not want to be in conversation with its shoppers, both to be suggesting, but more importantly, to be listening. The interests, the needs, the intent. All of this is in front of us with voice assistants.
Yes, well put. And I do remember when we were chatting, you know, just before our call today, you described some ideas and concepts about voice that caught my attention. One of them was, I mean, today, if I search for something, I go to a search line, I type in and I hit enter. Voice, is it the same thing, or what is to be radically different? Is it what you just mentioned, John?
Well, it's, I think, going to be radically different. And the question, and I want David to speak to this as well, is, Rudy, when the response comes back, how much patience will the consumer have for the number of answers? Keep in mind that we can speak, say, 3 times faster than we can type, but we can read probably 2 times faster than we can speak or listen. And so how we handle voice search, and especially for brands, I think is going to be very important. David, your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it will radically transform the way in which we certainly search for products. You know, when you do your typical Google search, it's pretty easy to scan the page, and you know, you understand the syntax of the page. You understand what's at the top, what's at the bottom. You can scan it very, very quickly. And us humans, our brains are now tuned into to be able to do that. With voice, I think you'll only be prepared to have maybe two, maybe three answers that comes back. And herein lies the strategic sort of dilemma for brands and brand owners, which is, when you say, I want, you know, detergent, liquid detergent, and you're only probably going to have the patience, as you say, John, to concentrate on maybe two or three answers that comes back, which brands get served up to you, and how do they get served up to you, and what's the relationship between those brands and the retailers or direct to consumer where you can get all this from? We understand the game, the way in which it's played within the Google search now, and the way in which you bid for search words, and the way in which you can have sponsored content both, you know, on Google and on Amazon. The voice world, this I think is going to be very, very different, because there will only be one or two brands in each of those categories where you ask for search that will have the capacity to be able to be served up because of the patience of the consumer. Therein lies a very, very different world, and therein lies a very different business model.
Yes, I think very well put and clearly understandable. Now, if I look back into the early beginnings, 24 months ago, when these little devices started up, or maybe 36 months, and we populated our homes with little microphones, that some people had some reluctancy with putting an always on microphone into their private habitat. And of course, what I'm pointing at are issues of data use and privacy. I mean, we had also some data breaches that the press talked about. That is a challenge. So given your experience in the field, what must brands think about when looking into this? And what must brands prepare for? Any advice you can give?
Yeah, in this, you talked about the sort of the digitization and transformation that we've all been going through. One of the really interesting things is some of the tenets of what a good brand is all about, you know, are the same as they were when God was a boy. And one of the key things is about trust. You know, you cannot have a good, valuable, strong brand without having a fundamental bond of trust between the brand and the consumer. And this voice world is very different, and it has the capacity, if not used well and not used in a responsible way, significantly disrupt that bond of trust in the way in which, you know, you just talked about data breaches, conversations being shared, data about you that's not necessarily related to the search that you've just made being used. And again, I think that we as an industry, as manufacturers and as marketeers, owe it to our customers to use this technology and to use the data that we're going to get out of this. And as you say, you know, an always on microphone in somebody's house, you have to be unbelievably trustworthy as a brand to be able to work and develop and get consumers' trust on all of this. And I think that those people that don't, those people who are very cavalier about this technology, are going to find that they have the capacity not to increase trust, but to destroy the trust that they have with their consumers. So I think this tool is not something that is just in the province of the marketing team or the commercial team or the technology team. This is a tool that the entire organization must embrace to understand how it can be used to enhance trust as opposed to destroy trust.
I think the good thing, Rudy, to the downside that you and David have identified, and David's very appropriate calling out of creating trust, the good thing is we're in the early days of voice. We are, you know, as Rudy, as you said, we're back in that, gosh, early internet days. Though that's where we are with the development of the capabilities, the technologies, and the standards that would govern voice. And so one of the steps that we as the industry can do is coming together to look at the overall governance. How do we structure? How do we use data? This is a great opportunity for standard development and ethical use guidelines being brought together to create kind of the rule of law that will give consumers a reason to begin to trust. And when they trust, to begin to then try the more advanced use models, which will lead to greater value.
Very clear. Thank you, David. Thank you, John. We ran through quite some ideas and concepts and to-dos. And if I'm a company really fresh looking into this topic, what would be the first thing I need to do, in your opinion? What is a good first step?
John, do you want to go first?
I'll go first. I'd be glad to. I think the first step is an intellectual step, Rudy. And it is that this is about the connection between a brand and a consumer, between the consumer and a brand. And within a CPG organization, that is the most important thing, to my understanding, and from working in the industry for so many years. Because it is about that central relationship between consumer and brand, this is important. It's worthy of study and experimentation today. It's worthy not only of individuals of the work, not only of the individuals in the technology side, but in the marketing side, in the overall brand development side, and those working with your retail brands. This is an important issue today and tomorrow.
I would add to that, John, to say not only on the technical and the experimental stage, but in a very funny way, you know, coming from my background, I started up as a planner in an agency, we always used to have a box on a creative brief, which was, what's the tone of voice? And of course, a piece of communication can be radically different depending on what tone of voice it deploys. And I now think one of the first starting points we're all going to have to think of as brand owners and marketeers is actually, what is the physical voice of your brand? We've never really had to think about that before. And maybe that is the starting point, which is, you know, what is the physical voice of your brand? You know, simple questions you have to ask yourself, you know, is it male or female? Is it a combination of the two? Is it funny? Is it serious? Is it joking? All those sorts of things which you've never really had to contemplate and think about in this new world, they're going to become very important. So at the same time as one's exploring and playing around with the technical aspects, one also has to start now to experiment and explore with what is the physicality of your voice as a brand.
Very clear. Two questions left, gentlemen. One of them, and that's a difficult one. So just imagine that tomorrow you wake up and the Open Voice Network, the OVN, is in place. It has been implemented. It is part of the game. What would be the first thing in your usual day where you would notice that the OVN is successful?
Well, here's a very quick one, which probably many people haven't really thought about. In an internet world, you type in the URL and you're immediately taken to whatever URL that is. No one can interfere in it. No one can disintermediate you. And you type in Procter & Gamble, you go to the Procter & Gamble site. In a voice world at the moment, people can disintermediate you. There are no common standards. So in a funny way, in this new world where the Open Voice Network is established and recognized, and we do work with open standards, when I say I'd like to go to Dove, I get taken to Dove. No one can interrupt me. I don't go to Walmart. You know, I don't go to competitors' products. I go to Dove, and that for me would be success.
I think and adding to that, Rudy, success would be shown in that level of consumer trust that we were talking about a moment ago. It would be those consumers who are kind of over the chasm on the other side, the early and late majority, who, because there are rules, because there are ways in which data is handled, there are standards on how you interact for voice, for basic transaction processes. And you have, as David said, the assurance of going to the place you want to go within the voice internet, usage accelerates, even explodes. Individuals who would be hesitant before are now comfortable. And we move across, as I said, that chasm into this world of vast value creation.
Okay, I think we now have interested listeners. And if they want to reach out and tap into your knowledge and contact you to find out more, what is the easiest, seamless, most convenient way to find you? If not over voice, of course, but where can they really find you?
Well, I wish I could say just use voice and ask for David Roth, but we're not quite there yet. But easiest way to get hold of me is david.roth, R-O-T-H, at WPP.com.
And for John, it's on LinkedIn, and it's a funny spelling. So it's J-O-N-S-T-I-N-E on LinkedIn, or just through the web at www.openvoicenetwork.org.
David, John, gentlemen, it has been a pleasure to be with you here today. Thank you for your time. And dear listeners, this were David Roth and John Stein on Voice and Brands. Over to you, Joel. Thank you.
Many thanks to Rudy, David, and John for that very insightful discussion. And thank you once again to our listeners for tuning in to yet another episode of the End-to-End Value Chain podcast series. And be sure to catch the next one. In the meantime, to listen to previous podcast episodes, or to find out more about the End-to-End Value Chain Initiative, please visit www.tcgfvaluechain.com.